Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Good day, everyone. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Live the Fuel show. This is Scott Mulvaney, your host. And today, I am actually live broadcasting, or recording, I should say, from the MAPCON event just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And MAPCON just stands for the Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference. Big upgrade this year. We moved into the Holiday Inn Conference Center, and I was not there last year because I am a brand new podcaster. I just launched on Monday, if that remember you guys, last week. So today, though, I have the pleasure of co-hosting with Neil Galarte. And normally, I like to have a nice little background on my co-host, but I just met this guy. So we're going super spontaneous here, guys. Long story short, he is the founder and owner of the Wild Style Media Group. He does have a podcast as well, been doing it a little bit longer than I have. And more importantly, the reason why I wanted to get him on the show today is because, guys, you heard on one of my last episodes that I'm a huge supporter of crowdfunding. This guy's rocking an Indiegogo campaign. It's a movie that's going to come out. Yeah, and it's going to lean towards some podcaster groups. We're going to talk more about that. But I'm excited for it because when you pull together a community and crowdfunding and Indiegogo and Kickstarter and everything else, it's just powerful to see what happens. So long story short, Neil Galarte, everybody.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm happy to have you on, man.
Thank you so much.
I love your message. So as we were catching up earlier, my show that I'm trying to get out here to the public is, our tagline is to fuel health, business, and lifestyle.
Nice.
So since I literally just met you today, I don't know much about you yet.
I feel like we're brothers, though.
So hey, even better. Apparently, I give off a good persona. Awesome. So if you haven't figured out, I'm the high-energy adrenaline junkie guy.
Yes.
I like to motivate people, clearly. Sometimes, to my girlfriend's point, obnoxiously. So I try and respect that. So I'd like to know a little bit more, and my audience, too. We'll get into the messenger.
Of course.
Okay, we'll get into that. But part of what you're doing, and this is guys who are listening, ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman has been put through the ringer, okay? I've never been involved with a movie launch. This guy's in a movie launch, and he's also a gentleman who owns a podcast, too, and a bunch of other stuff. So I just can't even imagine how you're trying to balance your health right now.
Yeah.
Your energy and everything else, your family, like, try and help us understand what you're doing.
Sure.
Are you focusing on any of that actually at all? Or are you just letting it overcome you?
It's actually funny that you brought that up because I don't get to talk about this too much. I don't really get interviewed about the projects that we do. But I used to weigh, when I started last year at the last PodFest event, which is a podcast conference that I am a part of, I weighed 367 pounds.
Okay,
I
we did overweight. Not discuss this earlier, so this is all new.
Well, you just asked me a great question about my health and my balance, and the only reason I'm excited to answer is because I've been focusing on balancing because it's been so overwhelming. So I weighed about 367 pounds. I was always editing late into the night, 3, 4 in the morning, getting up really early because I have a 2-year-old. So I am the stay-at-home dad that runs an entire company with his 2-year-old on his lap. And then I also do a podcast called All Things Post that is 2 years old now. And, you know, I started noticing that I was not only almost pre-diabetic. My sugar was 605, almost diabetic.
Woo!
Coma.
Yes, you were.
And then I started drinking water, no exercise. I literally just switched to water, took away everything else. I lost 82 pounds.
Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to jump in here.
Yeah.
82 pounds.
In about 6 months.
6 months. Timeline's important.
Yeah.
All this gentleman did was focus on proper hydration.
Hydration.
Okay? I tell people all the time, water is your best friend, 70% of the body, blah, 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 all the science. This isn't rocket science.
No.
82 pounds? You didn't do any nutritional shift.
I didn't do anything except got rid of sodas, all high sugar stuff, and literally just went to strictly water. And what it was the fear when the doctor told me all the things that could happen to me if I didn't walk and work out, but my lifestyle doesn't allow it. So I shouldn't say that because you could always make it happen, but I was so busy with the new baby and the business and the movies that I just switched up. Now, what it did, and it didn't only help me with hydration, I had numbness in my leg that went away. I had 8 years of back pain that went away. My vision stopped being blurry.
Wow.
Everything got better. And so basically, as far
well,
as
you
that,
had blurred vision too.
And I thought I needed glasses. It was the sugar.
Well, and I'm a big.
Yeah. You'll, sorry, well, guys. I was a broken guy.
If you continue listening to this wonderful show,
they will.
The NSNG is that lifestyle I've talked about before. It's no sugars, no grains. And you just learned about the gentleman I told you about. I highly recommend his
podcast. I'll be listening to you now.
Is Vinny Tortorich. So here's a plug for him because he's awesome. The Fitness Confidential podcast. And he's one of the founding, I guess, supporters of that acronym, NSNG. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the biggest things they talk about is just, it's a big shock. I guarantee you, when you started cutting the sugar,
it was very
did you
hard.
Go through like shock periods or like what
Not
happened?
Not only shock period, I started suffering. I wasn't able to sleep because my body was not in balance. I couldn't edit. I couldn't focus on the creative end of my business because my body was like, come on, man, I need sugar. I need something to wake me up.
Wow.
I was relying so heavily on sugar and caffeine from Coke because Coca-Cola was my drug. So anyway, the funny thing that about you asking me this is that then when I started feeling better, is it okay? When I started feeling better, then I started caring more about the grains, the foods, and starting to be, I started feeling proud of fitting back in my clothes and looking better, feeling better. Once I got over the shock, my body started feeling normal.
Okay.
Then I started, okay, now let me start really eating better and let me start to exercise and walk. So that has been pivotal in me doing this film because in Guatemala, I was at 7,000 feet elevation. I had to walk these monster hills.
Have you ever been over 5,000 feet?
No, and it was very
rough.
And
you live in Florida.
Yeah.
So that's a very flat state.
Yes. Guatemala was overwhelming.
I was going to say.
It was hard to breathe. It was up. But you know what? It was, I was so proud of myself because I remember when we, Sean Smith, the mobile pro, he had looked at the hill and he goes, can you make it? And I was like, if I was here last year, no. But I can now. I felt the strength. I felt clarity. I felt great. And once I climbed it, I came home just wanting to be so much better.
Awesome.
Now, as far as the film and the projects we're working on, all the travel, I finally broke the, I was plateaued at 282.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get to 100 pounds, which would be 267.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like 278. I found all the travel and all the caring more during the making of the film has really allowed me to get control. I'm very close to hitting 100 pounds, and that's my goal.
So your initial goal from the beginning is like, what's it going to be like to break 100-pound loss?
No,
is
my initial goal was don't die from this.
Okay, so yeah, you know. So you did clarify
but,
that.
It was really for the fear. I had a new brand new baby. I didn't want to die and not see her. Okay, once I got the 82 pounds, my goal became, let me see if I could just get to 100 pounds for my health, just for non-heart attack, to get out of that threat range.
Okay.
And now, I used to be an athlete. I used to be a cyclist, a soccer player. So I had the healthy...
I'm a huge cyclist, so good job.
Yeah, Campagnolo, all that good stuff. But now that I'm back within, you know, what I'm still chubby, but when I get back within what I feel is a comfortable range, now I want to get fit. Now I want to get back, because now I won't hurt myself working out with the weight that I have.
Well, and to be fair, so I've never been overweight. A lot of my family are overweight, though.
Yeah.
So I always joke around, but I'm serious at the same time that I truly believe it's not genetics. It is a lifestyle,
it's a lifestyle
commitment.
Absolutely.
I hate the word diet.
Doesn't exist.
I think it's the worst four-letter word in our vocabulary in the modern day because, and maybe you could agree or disagree on this, but when I hear diet, I hear short-term
excuses,
crash diet, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's all I hear.
Trend.
It's not, it's a trendy thing. Like, I'm going to try that diet. I'm going to try that diet. Like, no, guys. No. It's a lifestyle, and you got to be prepared. What you've just told us about, there was good periods and there's bad periods. Like all of a sudden, when the movie stuff kicks into high gear, you're probably going to have a couple of bad weeks. Maybe
Absolutely.
You break some of your focus. Maybe things didn't go as well as you wanted to. Maybe your weight loss plateaus. That's normal, right? It's normal.
Wow,
we weren't
supposed to talk. We're supposed to talk about movies and fun stuff, but this is amazing.
Sorry,
we're talking
man.
About we're, the life changes
but
that I've got.
This is reality.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, like, dude, I've never met anybody that runs a business, runs a podcast, and oh, by the way, I'm also helping launch a potential movie. That's also oh, by the way, being fueled by an Indiegogo campaign.
Yes.
There's people who get sucked up just trying to run an Indiegogo campaign.
Somewhere in there, I run a media company and I'm a husband and a dad. I don't know where.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot about the whole husband and kid thing too. Sorry, I'm the guy with a girlfriend and no kids. So,
hey, man.
And I find this a lot of work. So, you're it's a powerful story.
It is.
So yeah, I mean, we'll talk about that movie, but this is awesome, man. Because
no, I love this. I'd rather this will help people more than the film.
And because this is reality. This is the real life. Like. Obviously, your investors, I'm one of them because I'm an Indiegogo supporter.
Thank you, by the way.
Thank you. But, yeah, we care about what the end result is going to be.
Yeah.
But I'm the first person to come up and say, listen, I do not want to see somebody sacrifice their life for that said goal.
Like, right. I'm happy to sponsor you. I'm happy to, you know, invest you guys through Indiegogo, like the thousands of other people that are hopefully supporting that. And obviously, guys, this is part of this episode, too. I want you to go out and search for the messengers when this goes live, because we're going to talk about more exact links and yada, yada, yada. But this is important, man. Like, you've been going through a lot. This is a lot.
Yeah, you know, and it affects your marriage. It affects your sex life. It affects your productivity. It was killing me, man. But I didn't see it because I wasn't fat. I was so healthy my whole life that when I gained it and stuff, it came so slow and so smooth. I didn't see it, even though I'm looking at it.
Well, because your lifestyle simply changed over the years.
It just changed so smoothly.
We see this with ex-military. Absolutely. Guys who come back from serving overseas, they're working out all the time, they're serving, and then they come back, and obviously some men and women have PTSD. They have issues with trying to transcend or trying to get that transition back into real life. And for you, for example, you're younger. You're the athlete. Then somewhere along the line, you became a professional and you started building a business.
Yes.
And then what I hear from a lot of people is, well, life got in the way.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever used that term or not.
I used to. Now I say I got in the way.
Yeah. Okay.
I was in my own way because I was trying to make so many dreams happen. I stopped caring about me, and I didn't even realize that the lack of sleep would lead to sleep apnea. I didn't realize that gaining all that weight would lead to me having back pain and a numb right leg. I ignored all that for the success.
That numbness is scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to focus on that. That's scary. Like, my dad became type 2 diabetic probably about 6-7 years ago because he was, like, his one heart doctor told him to eat Cheerios.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dad, you're not 12.
Yeah.
Cheerios is a manufactured food.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, if I was 12, I would eat a bowl of Cheerios.
Yeah.
You're almost 70.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was borderline. I know I was there. I think I was very close to having something serious happen to me, and, you know, God stepped in. I mean, I had a baby.
Well, because, again, circulation. Me. Clearly, if you had numbness, there's something triggering some type of inflammation, which is what we have the research now. It's showing us that sugar triggers a lot of inflammation in the body, also grains.
Yeah.
But clearly, something was affecting either A, your nervous system, or B, your circulatory system.
Yes.
Did they ever tell you exactly what it was?
You know, they just told me that I was right at the point that if I could just control it with diet and walking and sweating more and getting the sugar out of my body.
Getting it out,
And really, they put so much fear that literally the next day I changed my life. And you know what's funny? I'll share this with your listeners. What my hardest week was the very first week because I felt like I couldn't eat anything because now I thought, what can I eat?
You were in a fear zone.
I'm only eating what I like. So now I can't eat anything. And I literally put my wife through hell for a week because I almost broke into tears one day. I'm like, well, what am I allowed to eat? I'm Latino. Everything's fried. Everything's bread. Now I feel like you took away everything.
You're Latino and you live in Florida.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you just took away bread. You just took away everything I love. What am I allowed to eat? Broccoli is not food to me. So, you know what now?
But if you shave some nice hard Parmesan over top of some nice steam or roasted
now
broccoli.
Now I know this.
Oh, yeah.
Now I know this.
This isn't just broccoli. Yeah. It's how you prepare.
Well, when you said lifestyle, you couldn't have said it better. It's not a diet. It was a battle meal for meal. People say, how'd you lose so much weight? I'm like, water. Step one. It was my only thing. And I get embarrassed to say I didn't work out. It was just water.
I love the simplicity of it.
Water.
Simplicity.
And then I started one meal at a time going, maybe I should add a little of this. Maybe I should try something healthy. And then my friends were encouraging me because they saw me losing the weight. And then what happened, I started feeling better, and I started kind of looking at what you were eating, right? Because I look at you. You look like a good-looking guy. You're healthy. And I would just kind of, without saying anything, I would incorporate what he's having.
There you go.
And now I didn't even realize I was making myself better all along. And so that's how it works.
The scary part is, and this doesn't happen a lot, my girlfriend busts on me a lot because I'm the health nut. And I know I take it to the extreme because I feel like I personally have taken it as my own mission to set a good example. So I feel a little guilty if I have a supposed cheat day. And to be fair, honestly, my cheat day is like I'm going to go out with my girlfriend and we'll have 2-3 glasses of wine.
Right.
Whereas normally I might have one. Like tonight. Okay, this is I don't even know if the sound is coming through, but we're the conference has come to the end. This is kind of like the after party transition. Everybody's hanging out, relaxing. I see another podcast interview going on over there. And
Michael O'Neill
and Mark Asquith, we'll have Mark on a little bit later, but the energy's high right now.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, man, like you got to set an example. I'll go back to my earlier point here. It's just, we had dinner over across the way here and I went back, the dinner took too long. So I made a second trip to the, salad bar, doubled up on the salad.
Nice.
I ordered my dinner. I had a nice fillet of salmon. And she's like, okay, so do you want you have broccoli and do you want the potatoes or the pasta? I was like, double broccoli, please.
Right.
And The funny thing was, the waitress was not surprised. She's like, oh, you just want to double up on the veggies then? I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay, great. Like, so I'm not the only one who's ordered it that way.
People are starting to get it.
Yeah.
Although I must admit, I'm going to say it out loud. I did have a ho-ho today because I was,
yeah.
I was, you can't put 30 ho-hos on a table and just walk away.
Yeah, I was a little frustrated with that. Like, so guys, earlier in the conference, guys, again, this is how anal I am. Earlier in the conference, they made the announcement like, hey guys, so the catered lunch is included this year with the event, and we're going with a big Philly theme. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh crap, here we go. And sure enough, he's like, oh yeah, we're going to have Philly cheesesteaks and strombolis and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I get it. I have friends of mine out there that are fellow CrossFitter friends of mine. Right. And they're like, dude, I still go out and eat a stromboli. And I'm like, that's fine. But I've gotten my body so dialed and so clean that if I do eat stuff like that,
it hurts.
It hurts a little bit. Or I get weird things. Like I'll get redness on my skin and stuff like that.
Right. You're to the point that you're so
I'm that
balanced.
Clean.
Right, right.
And people are like, I don't want to live that way. And I'm like, wait a minute. How's that a bad thing? This is my body actually telling me, dude, I'm no longer numb to this.
Right.
I now know that that's not working for me.
Right.
Please don't put that back in me.
People
so
are
you getting any of that now?
I'm starting to, and I'm noticing like I get more attracted now to fitness things when before I would run from it. And so I have a friend that's a triple amputee, and if he's listening, his name is Rajesh Durbal. He's the he only has one essentially good arm. He wears the prosthetic legs.
Was he born that way, or was this through
the
military?
Born that way, but he climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. So one of the documentaries I did was about him climbing Mount Kilimanjaro with
a bunch of amputees.
Oh, you're
getting me that information after this.
So
does he have a website and everything
for
this?
He does. Live-free.net.
There you go, guys.
Live-free.net. He's incredibly inspirational. And we went to Dr. Sanjay Gupta invited us to New York.
Sanjay guy.
To go and for him to run the New York Triathlon a few years ago. And it was my job at 367 pounds to chase him all over New York. I've never been to New York. And I realized watching him run with no legs, missing one arm, that he could do that. And here I was dying, just jogging.
Keep up with
5 feet. But instead of getting discouraged and going into the I'm fat, I should just stop doing this. I'm not going to do this ever again. No more. God bless you, Joe Pardo, walking up.
We got Joe Pardo walking
great
up.
Great job,
here,
man, on this
the
conference,
man. The legend behind this conference.
Yeah, you going to bed, buddy? God bless you, man. You did a
this
great job.
This guy's beat down.
We'll be in touch. Thanks for inviting me. And thanks for the ho-ho, man. Thanks for serving the ho-hos. You killed my... But thank you, buddy. Instead of getting depressed, this was a kind of a pinnacle moment where I think it affected my whole life, not just the film and the TV, but instead of getting mad about what I couldn't do, he inspired me to want to do it next time. So instead of running from that, I said, no, I'm going to shoot you again. And we went to the St. Petersburg triathlon, and I started going in the water and chasing him and jogging. And it ended up triggering the want to finally get right. So I'm still not there now. I'm about almost 90 pounds lighter. I'm still not working out a lot. I'm trying to walk more. And
so you're within 10 pounds of
100. And at 100, I want to actually start toning and working out. And you might say, why are you waiting? It's not that. It's that I feel like I wanted to get rid of 100 pounds of heaviness that would injure my knees, injure my ankles, possibly cause myself other injury. Yeah. I felt like at 100, I'll be lighter enough that I could start to do some of the more athletic stuff. So you know what? It's been a life changer. Guatemala changed my life. Recording in Puerto Rico for the Messengers. I ran, I walked, I jogged, I chased people. And now I feel so much more, even just personal power, that I can do it. I'm less limited as a filmmaker. I'm less limited as a person.
So has this, and I feel this comes back to that health balance.
Yes.
Obviously, I have a feeling because I have a few Latino friends. They're very tight-knit families.
Yes.
Has this bled over into the family?
Yes. Actually, it has. My brother, I have another brother that's quite heavy set. Now he's wanting to get right. My two younger brothers, they're fit, super awesome-bodied guys.
Okay. But are they down at South Beach, Miami?
Yes, actually. He's going to open up a restaurant called the Ducos, which is all tapas from Venezuela,
ooh,
all healthy,
wow,
and his own beer that he brews himself. But he's a health nut. And so it's been tough living with health nuts because, you know, they say, oh, now you're healthy. You're forcing it on me. They've been very supportive. Just go, Neil. Keep going. You look great. But never once told me, you should eat this. You should eat that. That actually makes me discouraged. They were just more like, whatever you're doing great. And so what it did, it made me want to keep finding out what I could do to be great.
Nice.
And that's where...
A lot of it is the psychology there.
Mental.
Okay.
It's a mental battle. Meal by meal.
For you.
Meal by meal, one at a time.
Yeah.
I can tell you, every time I ate,
now,
I wanted something
else. That's what worked for you.
Yes.
That's what I got to remind people, too, is like, We got to be very careful. I've gone full anti-magazine. I don't like magazines anymore. When I was younger, I didn't know any better. I was following what GNC said or this magazine said. And it's like, dude, it's
men's
so
health.
Generalized. Yes. And I respect that publication company because they're right in the Lehigh Valley and they sponsor a ton. Rodale Press sponsors a ton of events. They publish men's health, women's health, all of those, and a lot of the bicycling magazines. And I do trail building events with bicycling magazine guys up in the Allentown area where
I
live.
That's awesome.
And we have volunteer events going on now, so I have that respective relationship with them. Nice. But because I don't work for them, I could say this. I don't like a lot of these articles. Right. It's very generalized statements, right. And they have to remind people
very
that
watered down.
Not everything is going to work for everybody.
Yeah.
So one thing that frustrates me is when people say, oh, you need to do it this way.
No.
But then it's somebody says they hear that or they read that. Then they go home and they say, oh, well, it said that in the magazine. I'm going to go do that for the next couple of weeks.
Right.
And then what if it doesn't work? What happens? I get discouraged.
You really got to find what works for your body. What happened to me is I started to look at what was kind of working for me was the whole broccoli, the whole eating just a little bit more better proteins and avoiding all the bread.
Okay.
Once I saw that, I just kept doing that. But then I started asking friends that were healthy and saying, help me find things that taste good. Because what was killing me was I love flavor. So I found out it wasn't that I have to have pizza and all the fattening food. I just need to find a way to make healthy foods taste better.
Well, and
myself.
Real quick, because I'm a very big advocate for this. What he just said was he wanted to stay away from some of the fattening foods. So let's clarify here, guys. There's healthy fats and there's unhealthy fats.
Absolutely, yes.
So, and what you just said, the ladies and the gentlemen that are listening to this, flavor is fat. A lot of our foods have lost a lot of that rich, wonderful, powerful flavors that our taste buds want because we're following all this low-fat stuff.
Right.
But here's the issue. If you actually start reading your labels, when they strip the fat, what else do they put in? Sugar.
Exactly.
So there's part of the crazy flip of this stupid 15
years of
low fat.
It's like it all works against you. Yeah, it's like it all works against you.
And here's the problem. There's guys like you and other people out there freaking bouncing their heads up against a wall. Sorry, guys. I got a little passionate about this stuff. But it's like, dude, they just want to win. They want like a one good month.
Yeah.
Or maybe, one, like you said, you know what? One meal at a time, one week
at a
time.
You could have said that better. It's true. And you know what hurt me was I didn't want to ask for help because you feel sort of embarrassed that now that healthy friend you're asking for help is going to make you feel fat. And now I can sit here with you on a podcast. I never thought we'd be talking about this. Which is why I love it. And I don't feel like, I feel like I'm so comfortable I can share this with your listeners
because totally
I'm proud
this.
Of it.
Yeah.
But I want to continue more because even just this little conversation is going to make me go home and be like, I just talked on a super healthy CrossFit turbocharged performance-based podcast when I thought I was going to talk about movie making. And what I talked about is what the biggest change in my life has been. That's going to allow me to be here for my daughter longer and make me a higher performer in my business and my personal life and just make me feel better as a human being. And I think what people need to work on out there is feel better day by day, meal by meal, and stop making this such a damn hard thing to do.
Yep.
You actually naturally are going to make those right decisions. It's everything else working against you. So if you could just learn, like you just said, to educate yourself a little bit, don't be embarrassed to ask for help, read up a little bit. There's so many people out there like you that actually want to help people. But we don't know that. So actually, I think the people that are health nuts, make it known to people that you know are not there that you want to help them. Because that's what the hard thing was for me.
I think, and I'm guilty of this, is even I myself, I need to find a way to create. I've had to dial it back. Sometimes us health nuts get a little preachy. I'll be the first one to admit it. So that's my opportunity as a professional to take into account that people are struggling differently.
Yeah.
And now that I'm taking on the responsibility of trying to run a podcast, I have to respect this. My audience,
absolutely.
People like you, say, dude, I need to respect the fact that, look at your story you're telling us today, that you've had struggles that are different than other people.
Yeah.
And we just have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But you're a perfect example. What you're telling us here is that, hey, man, it might take a little bit longer. I might have a bad week here or a bad month here, but it doesn't sound like you're giving up anytime soon.
I'm not, but you know what was hard for me? I was becoming more and more of a public person speaking at these podcast events, speaking on cruises, the movie, and it made it harder for me to ask for help. It was like the bigger I expanded my visibility, the more I was going into my shell afraid to ask for help.
But why? Why do you?
Because you feel, you almost feel like, how can I explain this? Wow, I don't. They see me as this. I don't want to let them know I have a. I don't know how to eat right. I don't want to. You know, I would feel so uncomfortable. Like even tonight, everybody's eating all this healthy food, and I'm trying to eat. I'm finding a middle. Like, what can I eat that I still like, but that is still healthy, and I'm struggling, but I never.
And
share
you guys
it with
went
the table.
Out to an Italian restaurant. I think I saw on Facebook. So that's risky.
But you know what?
Italian menus don't always look that. They don't have
but
a ton of healthy
instead,
options.
Instead, I looked around and said, what are you guys having? And I got to always do that. So I break my fear of asking.
So what did you have?
I ended up just having like a light shrimp and a salad.
Okay.
I mean, and I say the shrimp because I just had to have something that tasted yummy.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't like salad, but I ended up eating it because I know I need to. So it was like, okay. It was just that balance. I only had water.
You know what I like to do?
Yeah.
And I'm not busting on my girlfriend, but it's just funny because she busts on me all the time.
We love
and
you.
It's all right. I need somebody to keep me in check.
Yeah.
And I'll go in and I customize menus all the time.
Oh, you're the Hollywood order guy.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm sorry. I'm that dick. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to go up, listen, I appreciate you as my server and as a professional.
But you're going to earn your tip.
But and I'll take care of you. Don't worry about
exactly,
that.
Yeah.
But let's see. This salmon dish that's on a giant pile of pasta. If I was in Italy, I might actually eat that pasta, but not here in the States. So could I get a nice bed of broccoli? Or can I double up on the veggies?
Right. You know,
here's my thing. Who ever said we were not allowed to ask?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
right?
That's a good point.
People are afraid to ask. They said, oh, well, because it says it that way on the menu.
And I don't want to be the one that's being different from the whole table.
But I'm like, you know what? If I'm being, and I'm doing air quotes here, people. If I'm being a dick, I'm going to say it again. Because I'm customizing the menu because I want to take care of myself better.
Yeah.
I'm okay with being that guy.
Well, you know, when the doctor sat me down and said, so, if you don't walk now, like tomorrow, if you don't do something by next week, I'll be seeing you at the hospital. And what do I got to say? You're going to die. If hearing those words doesn't affect you, you're going to die from this, right?
And we need to stop it before it gets to that conversation.
Well, then,
I mean, but I can't even imagine. I've never had to worry about that coming into my ears. I'm sure. I'm wondering, because I wasn't in the hospital room when my dad
got the news.
He went to the hospital because of major pain. And he ended up having stones in his urinary tract.
Yeah.
And obviously that was due to, I'm guessing, sugar. And
all
night long. And I grew up on a farm, like hardworking family. My dad was that bulletproof Irish hardworking guy. So I've never seen him in a hospital except when a cow rolled over and broke his leg.
Yeah.
And then he drove the truck home that way with a broken leg. It's that kind of thing, right? Like, oh, yeah, no big deal.
Spartan mentality.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, whatever. But then I see my dad like laying in a hospital bed.
It's hard.
Luckily, I'm older. I'm in my 20s when this happened. And I'm like, what is going on?
Superman is down.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is actually kind of, I never really thought about it this way. I mean, this is kind of coming out live here on the show. So I never bothered asking, you know, what did we do wrong or what he never thought about that way. My dad was built like I was. He played football in high school and stuff like that.
He was invincible.
And years later, and I've always been the health nut kid. No one in my family looks like me. I'm the guy who's got my shit together. And he's like, dude, one day he's like, I don't understand like why this has happened. And real quick, he finished up the hospital session. They ended up having to flush him. Like, they had these giant bags of white stuff, like IV bags full as white crap. And they had a catheter jammed up as you know what. And that was not comfortable for him. And he was there all night long.
It's a pride killer as well.
Flushing. It's definitely got to be emasculating. And I was like, oh, my God, like, I can't even see this. You know, this is not. I'm like, I'm going to go grab a drink of water.
And I don't want to be there.
I don't want to be there for this. And I want to be there for my dad, but I don't want to be there. And I'm like, this is just really frustrating.
Yeah.
And he's still technically type 2 diabetic to this day. You know, it's been about at least 6-7 years. But so, unfortunately, he was pushed to that point.
Yeah.
Your doctor, luckily, sounds like caught you in time.
Yeah.
Put the fear of God in you.
I mean, he really did.
And it's like, holy crap, man.
And I could have ignored him.
I need to pull a head out of my ass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure if you actually thought about that, but I'm going to say it that way. And
yeah.
like, okay, what is my family worth it to me? What is my kids? Yep. What is my business? What am I doing with my life worth?
And that's what hit me first. I did think of my new daughter at the time. She was brand new. Now she's two. But the first thing I came with was where's my self-preservation button? What am I worth to me?
Okay.
Because I was thinking about my daughter and my wife, but what about me? At what point do I need to hear something that I go, I need to stop because I'm worth being here?
I'm glad you're saying this because
that was hard.
I've had discussions with people like I'm not a full-time health coach or anything like that, but I do it just because I was a spinning instructor for 6 years. I'm the health nut friend. I coach CrossFit in my free time.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm that, you know, I'm the guy who goes.
So I'll be calling you after this show.
I rock climb, I road bike, I mountain bike, I ski race coach in the winter. Like I've always had that piece of my life to keep me balanced.
Right.
I might have rotated, but it's always something there. So again, I think it's like about setting that example and calling your friends out and calling your family up. But one thing that I've seen, like we just mentioned, was a lot of people look for what is my motivation.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's taken me years to get to this point. Whenever I have somebody say, "Hey, Scott, you know, I'd like to use you as like my coach," I'm like, first of all, I don't do this as my job or my business. So this would be something that I should enjoy. So my first question to you is, what and why? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, what are you going to do and why are you going to do it?
Exactly.
I'm like, well, the what is you. And I'm like, whoop, there's your first fail.
Yeah.
And like, they're like, well, why? Well, you know, it's for my wife, my kids. I'm like, nope, that's your second fail. I was like, because if I take your wife and your kids out of the equation, it is about you too. There's nothing wrong with being a little bit selfish. Like, put yourself first.
Of course, you're born alone and you're leaving alone.
Right. But also, to your point, you want to be the best man you can be for yourself.
And then
for your wife,
your daughter benefits.
For your kids.
Exactly.
For the health of your business. Like, it's a chain reaction. Yeah. It all affects everything.
And I'll tell you, Scott, it really has. I now look at my business trajectory. Today I spoke in front of this group, and I spoke in front of three times bigger groups, but it was more special today because I was more vulnerable. I'm showing you my work. I'm up here feeling people have seen
you. Which, by the way, is impressive work, people.
Oh, thank you. People saw me, and they were like, you look so much smaller than the last time I saw you, which was a year ago at 100 pounds.
Okay.
And it felt great. It felt like a massive victory that I didn't even share with the room. I just, inside of me, when I was speaking, I was like,
I actually just got a chill right now.
This is awesome.
I'm actually serious. Like,
I didn't share it.
I like that. I
didn't share it, but I enjoyed it. I took a minute when the trailer was playing and it wasn't about me for a second. I turned my mic off and I literally was like, thank you, God, for letting me experience this moment. Like, I get to actually be here again. And
be a better man.
And be not only a better man. And now, look, the way it works, I am a man of faith, is I was supposed to come on here and, in my mind, promote our film, continue to promote The Messengers. And, look, it's almost like confirmation for me I'm on the right track, because who I'm talking to is a fitness person that I would normally be uncomfortable around because you're so got it together. You even said it. And we read that as...
I may... sort of look that way, but we all got our opportunities.
Yeah, but so people read it. But people, when you're struggling with weight loss, you read it. Like, we'll see you as you have it. And you naturally just have that, but I don't. So now I'm going to shrivel down. And yet here we are. Hopefully the listeners are benefiting from everything we're saying, is that I can feel just as powerful as you feel right now, because you list some of the accolades, things you've accomplished in your life that give you self-power and self-worth.
Sure.
And I'm sitting here with that same guy, feeling at the same keel, feeling at the same level. And I haven't done any of that. So imagine when I do. Imagine when I do my first rock climb.
But I think that's powerful. And that's the other thing. It's like, so when I was starting to figure this show out and trying to put programming together, I'm like, I don't want it to come across like it's about me and what I've done. Part of this Live the Fuel brand and trying to bring the message of fueling your health, business, lifestyle, like the meaning of Live the Fuel is it came from a statement.
Yeah.
Live the fired up epic life.
Absolutely.
And you're going to be episode 5.
Awesome.
And
proud to be
I've already realized that. I'm like, wait a minute. This Live the Fuel thing isn't just about motivating and inspiring people to how they're going to get to that point themselves. Like, no, what have you done already?
Right.
What is your current status?
Absolutely.
Of how are you living the fuel today, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Like, because we need to celebrate the wins along the way. And you just told us this. Like, I wasn't here last year, so I didn't see you at your old self.
Yeah.
And you're almost 100 pounds different.
Yeah, and Facebook reminds me, 2 years ago, you had this memory. And I'm like, God, I looked horrible. But you know what's funny is
I tell you right now, you got to take advantage of that, like before and after app stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Put the photos next to each other, man.
But you know what? I'll say this is that, and I say this a lot to my filmmaker partners is you have to celebrate the little victories. Like my first time I sat at a booth at like an Applebee's.
Yeah.
I actually got really emotional because I hadn't sat at a booth because I was so heavy. I used to always say, can I just get a table, please, with a pull-out chair?
Oh, and like I the high-top tables so you could sit whatever distance you wanted to?
And I would have to make my entire family be uncomfortable, my daughter be in an extra high baby seat. The first time that I sat in a booth, my wife was like, what is wrong with you? And I told her, I am emotional because I can eat like everybody else again.
You know, you're moving me right now because I've never had that issue. Like
neither had I.
I don't go to Applebee's because I don't like the place.
Yeah.
But let's go to the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
The booth. Like I don't take that for, I guess I take that for granted. I've never thought about it that way. I've never really looked at it as like, oh, can everybody use that booth?
Yeah.
But here's the problem.
Couldn't sit on a plane.
I've already read articles on this and I've seen this. Now we've got companies that are they're adapting their designs, architecture, and how they do things to the growing U.S. population. And I'm not talking about quantity people. I'm talking about size.
Yeah.
So instead of us, I'm sorry, I'm the fit guy, and I'm gonna say this.
Instead of working to shrink.
I'm sorry that you're overweight, and I'm sorry that you're in an unhealthy place. But that does not mean that we start accepting that and building stuff around that.
Right.
I know I want everybody to be comfortable, but I'm like, dude, this needs to be a wake-up call. Like, come on.
And it was. But on the flip side of that, I was always feeling like not everybody's a size L. Like, can you just make it a quarter of an inch wider? My big changing point was I went to Harry Potter for the first time, waited 3 hours in line. Right before you get on the ride, there's a test one that closes to see if it will shut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like for the
And it wouldn't shut. Ride, and so. I was so embarrassed because this little kid was like, you have a big belly. And it broke me. I didn't get to enjoy the ride.
How long ago was this?
This was about 2 years ago.
Okay, 2 years ago.
I didn't get to enjoy the ride. And then I used to have to get the extender on the airplane lap belt. And I had to ask for that. And that broke my masculinity. And so I get your point because I think we should shrink to stay small. But when I was just too big for it, I was like, can they at least think of me and make it a little bigger?
Yeah.
So I think it's just finding a balance between I do need to be focused, but they do need to stop thinking that everybody's a size small.
That I agree with.
Because some of it's not even overweight. It could be large hips. It could be your bone structure. And so I just feel like sometimes the world. So I do agree with you because now on the new side of me, I want to continue to get healthier so I can comfortably fit in those things. But I feel like sometimes they made them a little too small. It almost seems on purpose. And it's like, come on, man.
I'll give you that one. There has been some times where
kids.
I'm not a big guy belly-wise, but I'm like the tall guy issues.
Yeah.
So like I've been on roller coasters where I'm like the legless ones where you're hanging. I'm like, is this ride going to shear my feet off? Because I have ape legs. Or I have ape arms. So when I cram into that shoulder bracing thing, I'm not comfortable. And I'm not a big guy.
Right.
Thickness wise, you know, so I can see your point.
But now I'm slimmer up top, slimmer on bottom, but still wide in the middle.
Yes.
So it's a weird place where now I fit in other things, but not necessarily around my waist. So it's still a battle.
For you right now, that's going to be most likely your initial phase is that skin surface level fatigue. And I'm not a doctor. I'm speaking from experience here. That's
absolutely.
All it is. This is life experience. And you probably have some what's called visceral fat if you've been reading up. That is the disease causing fat that collects around the organs. All right, that's what we really should be targeting, and that's harder to target. So like me, I found stuff like cleansing and things like that, detoxing that actually helps your body target that stuff because that's all your fat cells do. People don't realize that. Like your fat cells are designed to protect you.
Right.
So when it sees stuff that it can't process and it's not in your liver and your kidneys and your bladder and everything else, that stuff's not at a super healthy state.
Right.
So it can only filter so much out.
Yeah,
and again, I'm paraphrasing from science articles I've read. So, the long story short on that is that you've got stuff still stuck in the body.
Right.
So your body's job is like, dude, I don't want to have this still in the blood, so I got to get it out of it. So it's like, okay, well, if I can't filter it out naturally and pee it out, whatever, I'm gonna go just dump it off into that fat cell over there. So your fat cells are like, hey, sweet, it's okay, I'll protect you. I'll soak all that up. So your fat cells are storing stress, weight, inflammatory, like whatever, and that's why when you see people start going through a healthy transformation and you see them literally shrinking and like, oh, yeah, I'm losing fat. And I'm like, well, technically, actually, you're not.
Right.
All you're doing is you're shrinking the fat cells.
Yes.
But a powerful article I read once was, we are born with a set number of fat cells. And again, guys, I'm not a scientist, so somebody could probably correct me on this, but I'm just going to go off of what I've read. And the most eye-opening thing for me was, they said, once you've maxed out your fat cell capacity, mm-hmm. your body's said, well, I still got to protect myself. So if you're still in an unhealthy state, what does your body do? Right. It starts making new fat cells.
Right.
This is where this obesity it thing is coming from and everything else. So it's like, wow, man. So like, that's why I still understand why some people, once they've gone through massive weight loss, they may need to do some type of cosmetic surgery because some people have
the extra
excess
skin. Absolutely. I'm going
to
that right now.
Maybe they still have, like, they literally, their body might have produced extra fat cells that's in that, under that skin.
Yeah.
So I have to respect that. Like, it's like, now I see, now I understand why people need to go through some, once they've gone through such an amazing transformation, they still have some
a lot
more
of work
transforming
left
to go.
Absolutely. And that's where I'm at right now. I do have the extra fat, and I'm trying to work out, and I can't get rid of it. But I realize, like you said, at some point you might have to go have some surgery. You might have to do some stuff. But I'm trying to do the most that I can do on my own before I go there. And I'm happy with where I'm going. And I think now I'm just seeing the positive aspects, how it's affecting me all across the board in other ways. Dude, I couldn't be in a better
place. What about your business, man? Like, we've talked about all this health stuff, but again, it's health, business, lifestyle.
That was good therapy.
But it's like, I'm glad.
No, I actually loved this conversation.
Like, how has it impacted the business?
Well, now it's, you know,
I tell people this all the time.
It's a confidence thing. I used to walk into a room and always wear a jacket and it couldn't close.
Okay.
I used to stand at tables and have to like always push my belly, and I always felt lack of confidence.
Okay.
So now that that's gone and people compliment
you're clearly
you
more confident
bit,
you're hanging with me, you said. So.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, people
and
start,
I'm nobody special.
People
but.
Start to tell you you look better, you feel better, so it raises your confidence. And I hate to say this. This is a sad statement in America. Absolutely, we decide who we do business with based on how they look. I have had. I know for a fact there were people that were not doing business with me because I didn't. I was fat.
When I was in the big business world, still an employee world, hands down, I worked my butt off.
Yeah.
But I also knew that I earned a couple of promotions because I took care of myself.
Absolutely.
They knew that I was
a
high.
Way.
I exuded a high energy, fit,
high performance
persona.
Level. Yes.
So it's like, okay, if I'm the hiring manager, because I've literally done this myself, when I would hire people, I'm like,
if you're not
you
taking care of yourself,
one,
right?
Or are you going to be the motivated one? Like when crap hits the fan and I need you to jump on a project team, who am I going to?
And funny, here I am being that most guy of that that I would jump on. I'm the fastest guy to solve problems. I'm a very driven person, but because I was overweight and fat, they saw it as he's sluggish. If he's not taking care of himself, I don't want him standing next to me at a meeting.
And that's unfortunate, you know, because you're talented.
And the minute I lost the weight, those same people came back to hire me, and it really hurt.
So you've really seen that. Wow.
I've experienced it and still have as recent as yesterday. But what happens is, what I've realized now is my confidence is up. So not only do I exude confidence, I sell better. I promote my business better with a smile on my face because I'm not feeling all that insecurity anymore.
Wow.
So it allows me to focus on what I do instead of on what I want to be, how I want to look, where I want to get.
Well, and I'm going to tell you right now.
You know?
And if you haven't heard that, guess what? The healthy, fit people, they all have their insecurities.
Of course they
too.
Do. Of course
they
do.
The only difference is they, because they're already healthy and fit, they can cheat and fake it a little bit later, and their insecurities have moved on to something else.
Yeah.
So the cool thing about you is, if you're already bulletproof everywhere else in your life, and now you're rocking your health,
it feels complete.
Man, you're going to be like a freaking freight train.
It's actually great that you said that, because that's how I feel. It's literally, I feel like in other aspects I've been so good at protecting myself that now the only thing missing was that confidence to go in front of that room and say, hi, I'm Neil, the director of the Messengers, and I'm not at all even caring how you're looking at me right now. Because you should be focusing on my art and my work behind me. And that's how I felt today. That was my little victory.
Yeah.
I didn't in one time today wonder if my shirt was showing my belly a little bit.
I know, man. I can tell you. I was sitting right in the middle of the room and I was like, there's nothing but confidence up there.
And I, you know what's funny though? Private moment, right before I walked up, I looked at a mirror for the first time in years. And I actually looked to see if I still have the bell look, you know, like, and I'm wearing a black t-shirt that should be slimming.
Okay.
So I walked up there with that stupid image in my head of what I just saw.
Okay.
But the funny thing was, I still felt, even though I just saw, I'm still a little bit overweight, and I still felt empowered, and I still felt so proud of this film.
Because you have that 1 year difference too.
Yeah.
And like you said, you have the film and everything else going. So you have all these other wins.
It felt awesome.
This is just filling in that missing piece of the puzzle right now.
It felt
now.
Awesome. And actually, I'm not trying to be mushy or BS on your show. It felt awesome. And this conversation, this podcast is the cherry. Because I'm going to take this conversation away and go, I wouldn't have had this conversation if I didn't do all this effort.
True.
I would have avoided you. I wouldn't have talked to you.
Really?
So the fact that we were able to have this conversation when I thought I was going to have a different conversation just tells me this is confirmation that I need to continue what I'm doing because
look,
I'm attracting a positive vibe, a positive conversation. I'm not afraid. I hope your listeners learn from my journey. And now I have a friend because we're going to be that, that I can one day call and say, so how does this rock climbing thing work and when am I coming? Because that's the kind of, I think that if you make relationships like that, instead of me now saying, oh God, that's my healthy friend, I'm never going to call him. It's the opposite.
I'll be the guy that throws you right out of a perfectly good airplane.
Yeah, got to seek it out.
I care about people like that.
But I got to seek that out now. See, the difference now is, do I never talk to you again or do I next Friday say, hey man, thanks for that win. And hey, whenever you want to give me a workout tip, do it.
Hey, I tell people that all the time. Like, man, you want to message me over Facebook Messenger or you want to shoot me a text, I don't care. Yeah. I mean, because we've clearly built, I would think now, thanks to this episode, a stronger connection.
Absolutely.
I now know more about you than I knew 2 hours ago. And it's awesome because I love the transformational stories. And you're literally in the middle of yours.
And
right
I have
now.
More to go. And I'm excited about it instead of being, you know, another thing that changed too is everybody telling me to lose weight. And now I love it because no one's telling me that anymore.
Because they already see you doing it.
Yeah. And you know what that does, though? It takes away all that pressure.
Yeah.
And now I go shopping and I'm looking forward to see if I'm a little bit smaller and I'm not trying to fit society small. I'm just excited that my body is under my control now. And I can stop when I want. I might actually get to a point where 272 feels right for a little bit.
Yeah.
But when I look at other people and I see people struggling with weight now, I'm very sensitive to them.
Okay.
And I just want listeners that are listening to know that you have to do two things for it to work. One, you have to apply the stuff that people like you suggest. Because just listening to good information and not applying it is like going to church and not listening to the word.
Well, so during your application here, are you actually sharing this content on any of your like Facebook feeds? Are you adding that transparency to your lifestyle too?
Oh, yeah. I constantly post stuff
Is this on your business feeds too?
It's starting to be there.
Okay.
I kept it away from there
for a
while.
I know the messengers is a separate thing.
Yeah.
But you also said you have a podcast show. Are you incorporating this transparency into that?
Now I am. Okay. For a while I waited because I was trying to keep it on my personal side.
Yeah.
But like you said, it starts to affect my business. It starts to affect everything. And now there's a podcast called Fitness in Post-Production that wants me on their show to discuss this because I'm an editor that lost all this weight. So now
you're a case study of success.
Mentioning it on my show opened up another door, and he's the editor of Empire on Fox. So now I'm going to meet...
Oh, he's that guy?
Now I'm going to meet... I'm be on the show of one of these monster people in my industry, and just like this interview has nothing to do with my show. It's because I chose to be a healthier Neil. And for your
my
listeners...
My girlfriend loves that Empire show, by the way.
So. Well, you know what? But like I said, you have to not only apply what people say, but you got to be open. You have to be open and admit that... You have to do the work, and you have to stop being afraid of everybody and ask for help. Whether it doesn't have to be help me eat right. It could be as simple as help me be more confident.
Okay.
Help me find my direction. Help me not focus on my size. I used to say jokes like cheeseburger jokes. And my friends would say, oh, well, Neil will do it if you throw a cheeseburger over there. And I had a friend that one day said to them, stop doing that.
He called him out.
Stop doing that.
Okay.
And that friend stopped doing it to me as well. And that's when I started having better lunch meetings and eating better because I didn't have people joking with me about it. So, you know, but I had to be willing to be man up and ask for some help. Hey, man, can you not do that to me anymore?
It's your lifestyle. It's your friends. Yeah. It's your network. It's like, dude, you don't like the communication, change it. And again, that's that confidence, right?
You are
like,
power, man.
And I'm literally, as we're talking here, I'm tracking down your feeds because like I said, guys, I just met him today. So I don't even know all of his feeds yet. And I like to, because like, what if people aren't listening to this powerful conversation all the way through?
Absolutely.
So now, are you publishing stuff to the Wild Style Media Group?
Yeah. So Wild Style Media Group is my company. So I focus a lot on the, what are we doing in production? What's in the edit bay today? You know, today on the edit bay, I'm on this podcast.
Okay.
So I do publish to that. Now, as far as like the healthy things, I do it more through, we have an Instagram. And so like,
nice.
I'll be on like in Guatemala and I'll, in my comments, instead of saying we're shooting in Guatemala, I'll say, wow, I lost 82 pounds and I can feel it. And I'm starting to slip it in.
The same brand title? So if they're on Instagram, they look for the Wild Style Media Group.
Wild Style Media. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Facebook, more businessy. Instagram, you're mixing in some more of that.
Funny, being a social media person, I've been on there forever. I use each one independently. So Facebook is to me more my megaphone.
Okay.
I use Instagram as very behind the scenes. You will not see these pictures ever on Facebook.
A little more personal.
And then my Twitter is my... my, if you know my business, you know my movies, you know my podcast, but follow me as the visionary of all these things and as my personal journeys.
Okay.
So I've kind of separated them individually.
Now, are all of these at Wildstyle?
At Wildstyle Media.
Media.
At
okay.
Neil Gallarte.
Okay.
And then my podcast at All Things Post.
Nice.
So
nice.
It's a lot of them, but people, what I'm noticing is they're just following Neil Gallarte
yeah.
because they lead to all these other things.
Well, and something I want to make sure, obviously, we're coming towards the end of the episode here, and
oh,
I want to make sure you guys are learning. I know this has been awesome. I don't want to cut it off. And I'm
part two. You can cut this into three parts.
We're still flowing here, man. So I just want to make sure we don't yeah. forget about this. That's
oh,
all
absolutely.
I'm saying.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
We'll talk as long as you want. I don't care. I don't have a limit. So, but with this shift in the Wildstyle Media Group, now we know how to follow you. And I'm definitely going to follow the Instagram feed because
oh,
I want to reinforce your healthy attributes.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
think it's powerful.
Thank you.
So, but with the messengers, and that's one thing I didn't get from your presentation today. So I'm going to call you out here on the episode and
sure.
I want to be like, dude, why? Like, there's a why in the teaser videos and there's
yeah.
a why in... Like basically, guys, I mean, and I'm going to give him my skinny from the, sitting in the audience and being
please
on the Indiegogo campaign. It's like, I saw this as, all right, I've been hardcore obsessed with digesting podcast content for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
It's been like the revitalizing bloodline into my entrepreneurial mindset. So it's like, dude, you want to surround yourself with, you know, the Jim Rohn quote. You want to surround yourself with the five people, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. If you don't have the five people, go listen to a podcast. Go listen to the guests on that podcast. Go listen to audiobooks or whatever.
Yeah.
So this digital world and this new form of media that has been exploding is powerful.
Yes.
So when I saw your teaser from the John Lee Dumas in Entrepreneur on Fire, EO Fire, it's like, oh, okay, this is new. Indiegogo launching a media program that's going to be a movie that's going to be about that struggle and that growth of the new podcaster
yes.
and what it's like to get their message out there. I'm like,
yes.
wow. And then I literally found this as I'm planning to launch my own show. So
karma.
Like,
I'm
totally funding that campaign.
Thank you so much.
So,
thank you.
But why did you personally, like, I never got that from the presentation. Did you personally get involved with this? Was it your baby initially? Because there's a whole team behind this. So
Chris Kremitzos is our executive producer and the creator of PodFest. The why was because that story hadn't been told, and he is a visionary businessman. He's a storyteller. His podcast is called Story Jam Theater, and we
cool.
started the Florida Podcast Association. I was one of his founding members. We had sort of grown together helping him with PodFest. So when PodFest ended last year, we felt so much success, so much joy that we did what Joe did. We pulled off a conference. We brought people together. Oh, my God, they actually cared. They came. They listened to us. And when we sat at our debrief thing, he looked at me, he said, Neil, you make movies, right? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm in the capacity of podcaster now. Now I'm not here as a filmmaker. I'm here to promote Wildstyle Media as podcast editing, not as a filmmaker. He said, this story hasn't been told. This, the struggle of getting the message done, of overcoming the fear of launching my show. Of,
oh, we hear, fear people.
We hear all this stuff, but all we're looking at is successes like JLD, but the story of all the little turtles trying to get to the water hasn't been told.
Yeah.
Do we have a movie there, and would you be willing to pursue it? I literally thought about my personal podcast struggle, how much it sucked. And I said, wow, dude, there's nothing about that out there. There's more people like us than there are John Lee Dumas. So although he's a beacon and he's somebody to look forward to, just like Michael and all these guys,
right?
But not everybody has that story and that timing and that luck.
Yeah.
So,
oh, and he crushed it. I mean, yeah.
He put the time and the effort and the vision, but there's a time, there is a, you know, I was in the right time, right place.
Yeah.
I was the first 7-day podcast. That's why it happened.
Yeah.
So we wanted to become the first film that tells the true story of the struggle of finding your voice and getting your message heard. And it ends with the house that podcasting built and how you can achieve this.
I was wondering why you guys went to Puerto Rico.
That came,
so that
we
like,
weren't.
I was like, okay. From what I understood, it was supposed to be about the story of the struggle.
Yeah.
John Lee Dumas has already clearly succeeded
yeah.
with his
because
growth.
Every struggle ends with a success.
But that makes sense. Okay. That's
and
a nice
enough,
closing.
Enough people mentioned him as their inspiration. So when we went to see him, it was not to highlight.
I regularly listen to his podcast as well.
Okay. Well, we weren't there to highlight him as a successful podcaster.
Yeah.
We wanted to ask him, do you remember Lily Wong? Because she told us that in China, she knew no English. You changed her life. Now she has 10 million followers. Do you remember
wow.
this person? They said that they didn't even know English, came to America, started a podcast, and now they're changing people's lives because of you. That's how we interviewed him. And by the way, can we see the house that, that podcasting bought? Because if they have the tenacity, the consistency, and they do, they fulfill the struggle and find the balance in health, life, and everything, they can have this house. So his...
Whether they want it or not.
we didn't want him in there for, let's get Johnny Dumas. He's the biggest podcaster. We got to have him in there.
Right.
It was like, so we've interviewed 25 people, and 20 of them say he has been their startup inspiration.
Okay.
How can we ignore not asking him his formula for that?
Plus, it gave you an excuse to go to Puerto Rico.
And yes, and Kate Erickson.
Yes.
So we ended up getting her angle.
Well, and she didn't get started until I think she was with John, right?
But so she was amazing.
Yes.
And I hope she's listening. I left with my hairs on end because of the things that she said. She was polarizing.
Yeah.
So I'm so proud of this movie because it has everybody from the I Just Got Started to John Lee Dumas blessing us with an opportunity to share his formula with us.
Yeah.
But no, you know, Podfest, we're not promoting. We went to John Lee's, come to Podfest so you can see John Lee in our movie. We're not doing that. Matter of fact, I just try to say, come see the movie and be proud to be a podcaster.
Right.
Because that's what this movie is about. I want everyone to leave and say, if I'm not going to be a podcaster, I'm going to be a content creator. I'm going to go start a YouTube channel.
That's how I'm looking at it. I'm like, dude, even if you're not a podcaster, but you're
find
like,
your voice.
Maybe I would never launch this show. Yeah. But I was crushing podcasts for 2.5 years as a consumer. I would still want to go watch this show to understand why I'm so obsessed with podcasting.
But you're a product of our film because you're finding your message right now.
Oh, literally,
you're honing it.
Literally, I am that.
You're honing your skills. I'm talking
to
you.
I'm not even a week old yet.
But I'm watching you, since we've been talking, go from this to this. So already our demeanor, our comfort, we're already
improving.
By the
way, guys, he just did like, you can't see this. So
lean forward, nerd. I'm ready.
Like, he just literally changed his chair position. He's
to lean back.
Like you can see Mark Asquith across the way here. Yeah. He's kind of chilling. Yeah.
Because you take on that confidence. And I really value that you gave me an opportunity to be on here because no matter how people keep telling me this movie's gotten so big, Neil, people know you everywhere you go speak. I don't feel that. I don't see that. And I value stuff like this more because this to me is, like I told you, a confirmation, a more valuable conversation because I think it'll reach more people. God bless our film. Chris Kremitzos, our visionary leader. I'm here representing him. Now, there's a team of filmmakers. There's Willie Harper that is our DP that traveled with me everywhere we went.
Wow.
But
it's a lot of travel.
But the reality is, dude, like I would never meet you if it wasn't for this film. I wouldn't have been here. And it's taken me places.
I wouldn't have met you if I hadn't have chosen to come to this event.
Like, find your voice,
exactly.
Find your message.
Yeah.
Let me take my gear. Let me see if I can interview people.
Yeah.
So you're saying yes, you're creating your own yes, and you're enhancing your own why. You could have come here, gone to the conference, and gone home.
Yeah.
And then recorded at home about it.
Oh, dude. I mean, that microphone and that cable literally arrived yesterday.
Well, I'm taking this.
I was like, I'm going to the event. Apparently, I have nice gear.
Yeah.
I go to this event. I'm like, I'm going to come down with a couple extra mics and cables just in case. Like, because I was only set up with two mics. Like, this has literally been.
But you realize you now enhanced your listening value to your listeners. It just went from what he was going to do weekly to he's also going to go mobile. He cared enough to bring two mics, not one, so now we can have a deeper conversation. So
I even got a third in the bag back there in case we got, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Dude, you're doing great. I actually wish you the best. And every friend I meet in podcasting, I consider a friend in podcasting because I look at it like I will see you in other conferences, and I fully intend to stay in touch because you are a messenger, and it's just you're just a brand new one. And
well,
so
I'm honored to be a part of that.
I'm just proud that. I went to my room and I got a couple of shirts. I didn't have that many. I felt horrible. But I'm just proud that, like I said, you're a new messenger. You are exactly who our film, wants to reach and inspire. And if all they do is say, I saw the messengers and it just made me feel proud to be a podcaster,
yeah.
Chris and I are elated. If the movie moves on to go to Netflix and do all these amazing things.
Dude, you're going everywhere, man. I mean,
I'll be honored.
I've only seen the teaser videos. Then today I got to hear that actually part of the teaser videos are people that are surviving cancer.
Yes.
Lyme disease guy. Like, I mean,
Khadijah is a Muslim female that gets so much hate.
Her story is powerful.
Well, guess what? She was my second coaching client ever.
Oh, wow.
And I took her show on to rebrand and relaunch her when no one would touch it. And I couldn't be more proud to be her coach.
Yeah, today's adversity, her story of adversity, oh my gosh.
Today, Zach Demopoulos was a tall guy in a blue shirt.
Yes.
He's my current and only coaching client because I only take one at a time. And I was so honored that he drove two, three hours just to see me here because we're all virtual. We haven't met. Yeah. And it just, like I said, confirmation, Neil, as I was standing here, that I'm on the right track. And I couldn't be more excited. I have a two-year-old daughter that I'm trying to leave a roadmap for. And I just want her to one day look at this whole journey and say, wow, my dad went from being overweight, fearful, lost, left a cush job working for the mayor of Orlando, launched a business, launched a podcast, traveled the country, went to Guatemala, became a podcaster, a speaker, a organizer of a conference.
I mean, you could literally have a documentary about the documentary from behind the scenes. Like, you could have a behind.
We do. It's called not a documentary, but we are doing things called Follow the Filmmakers, where we are sort of showing this. And thank you for
something new right now with you, all you ladies and gentlemen listening in.
And there's a podcast called The Messengers Podcast, hosted by Dave Jackson of the School of Podcasting. He was so touched that he offered to do behind the scenes, tell the story of the filmmakers podcast on our behalf.
Wow.
So if you listen to that, there's 5 episodes of all of us fighting in the car because our fearless leader told us to take award winning off of our trailer. And you'll hear our argument about how we defend our awards and our accolades.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's part of your story.
He's been telling our story, and it's called The Messengers Podcast. It's on iTunes. And dude, I look, man, I'm on cloud 9. I'm flying home tomorrow to start editing the film.
And I know you have no break.
No.
Like that's why we talked about this earlier.
And
I'm like, listen, I know you're basically are trying to crush the world right now and launch a movie. But I was like, if you're game and on a brand new show, let's just go chill out. Let's hang out. We're both drinking water. While everybody else, we're literally right next to a bar.
Yeah.
But we don't need that, right? We're just chilling out. We're hydrating. And you can actually relax and be passionate.
This has been very relaxing, and thank you for having me on. And I'd rather be on your new show because when I was new, I struggled to get good hosts, good guests. When I was new, I didn't think my podcast would last more than a month. So now, as a person that has been blessed and luckily I'm getting these great opportunities, I would rather be on new shows because I want to put any little bit of influence that I've earned behind the new shows.
It means a lot to me,
because
I can promise
the existing shows, they're only going to shine like that for so long. And your time on this conveyor belt has to start. So if I can be a part of it now, I love watching it 2 years from now when you're monster big and I can have a little piece of that and say, I remember being on that show, how we had a kind of a great life-changing talk, and now look where he's at.
Well, I'm excited because I'm going to call you out right here. So I like to always wow, there's a lot of excitement going on out here.
Oh, they just found out that you're going to be an award-winning podcaster.
I love it. I love it. So, but with all of this transformation has happened, now that we know more about you personally.
Sure.
And I'm excited, obviously, for the Messengers. And, I mean, you can follow them. Most of the hashtags, I believe, are the Messengers doc for it's documentary.
TheMessengersDoc.com, or you can go to supportthemessengers.com just to support the campaign.
Yeah.
But all of our social media is like Messengers Doc.
Yes. Yeah. On Twitter, because I said, I followed everything,
Messengers,
and I've been hashtagging you all day in my posts.
Thank you.
So,
this is my message. Is our hashtag?
Yeah. So we're doing our part as the
and
new
thank
shows.
Thank you from the heart. Thank you so
much. The movie comes out in February.
February 23rd.
Okay. And it's now September.
I'm hoping to see you at PodFest, sitting right next to me.
It's September 10th.
Yes.
Now today. Tomorrow is 9/11.
Uh-oh.
So
I feel a deadline.
What is your... No. What is your goal, man? Like, not... You said you want to get to 100. So you're in a motivation phase. You got a lot of work. You got a lot of stress to still do, but I still believe that your lifestyle changes can still maintain consistent improvement and loss.
Yeah.
So let's go a year end.
Okay.
I want to know your goal for year end, and I'm going to hold you. I want you to follow up with me.
I love that.
Like, dude, like, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to give you till New Year's.
That's awesome.
Like, what is your goal?
Actually, it's funny you said New Year's. I tried to set unrealistic goals, but my goal was that to start the new year reaching the 100. And I will selfishly tell you again that the 100 was because I plateaued for so long.
Sure.
I want to be realistic that I'm not going to lose another 11 pounds, in 2 days. So I want to get, and I know the
2 days is a little aggressive.
And with the holiday travel and the film stress of editing, I know it may be a challenge, but I want to reach that personal number. Now, a year from now, I really want to kind of get back to doing healthy things. Like, you know, I used to love cycling. I used to play soccer.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to kind of get my fitness life up to par, healthy workout schedule, eating better, inspire my family a little bit, my wife, my brothers. A year from now, I really would like to be around, you know, I don't know what the number is, but very healthy, sustainable weight. Get down to where I'm feeling I got rid of a lot of the excess fat, and I'm actually healthier. Not about getting rid of fat, but just that I'd be told that I'm actually very healthy, that my body is performing well and processing well.
Well, that is the end result. Yeah. I tell people all the time, like, if you want a very, very simple equation to live by, and this shifts a little bit when you're an athlete, but it's the 80-20 rule.
Yes.
Like, a lot of people use the 80-20 rule with, like, oh, you whatever has, like financially, if 80% of your income is from these clients, then obviously you focus on them. Those that lower 20% are usually the most annoying ones. You get rid of them, okay? But in this case, we're looking at you are focusing on 80% nutrition, 20% exercise. But the one beautiful part about that is that as you keep focusing on the nutrition, how you're feeling your body starts transforming. It does react in a positive way. Then that 20% exercise gets easier, like you said. The weight comes off, your knees feel better, your back feels better, everything's getting better. So then your exercise increases, and what you also find is that your nutrition will increase with it.
Yes.
Like, I'm a pig. I eat a lot because I train now at that level. That's my lifestyle. You will be able to get to that point. A lot of people think it's about calories. And I'm like, no, dude, like, you put the right stuff in and the right stuff comes out, to speak.
No, you're absolutely right. And I set small goals along the way. Like, I want to walk my first 5K, and I did, and I almost died. I literally got to the end with two severe muscle cramps and a hamstring. A year later, I walked it, and I walked it completely. I would love next year to jog the entire thing, the entire thing. Little steps like that.
Now, these are goals. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's not okay, your initial goal is to break the 100, and I know for a fact, I'm going to go ahead and call you out. I know you're going to do that.
I'm going to do it.
You'll break 100. That's not a big deal. But it is more than a number. It's
absolutely
what is the lifestyle result?
Right.
And you've already talked a lot about that today.
Yeah.
With your lifestyle, your business, your family, your kids. But also, now let's look at the functions and the activities that will increase.
Absolutely.
Thanks to that new freedom that you've gained from that.
Exercise. I want to definitely
jog. And like, you're
in
a perfect state for it. You're in Florida, for God's sakes.
Yeah, yeah.
So when it's winter here, I'm skiing. I can't bike as much.
Yeah.
You, man, you can bike year round.
Yeah. And that's what I tell myself to start taking the excuses away. I could do it all the time, so I need to make it happen.
Yeah.
And my biggest, I'll end with this. My biggest thing I'm trying to change right now is to have a better balance and not keep letting my business, my work be my excuse that I started with this interview. Oh, I don't have the time to fit it in. I'm really trying to make that time, even if it's little. And that's the change I'm trying to, like, every day. I need to make time for Neil, whether it be spiritual balance, a healthy balance, and now I'm trying to increase my physical activity. But, dude, man, look, man, I'm about to open my first office since 2003 because the film has allotted for us to now have a collaborative space. When I get home, I'm going to go paint. I'm going to go edit. We're going to launch a new chapter. And I'm launching it, ending it with this awesome interview that I didn't expect. So it feels like a dovetail for me. I'm just so grateful to God that I can share this with people. And at the end of the day, when people say Neil Gallarte, I don't want them to say, oh, that's a great filmmaker. He has got a pretty cool podcast. I really just want them to say, man, that guy went from the bottom, launched a podcast when he didn't even know what it was, grew it into opportunities, into speaking opportunities, coaching opportunities, into film opportunities, and can still be humble enough to come right back down to interview, to guest, and just share with an audience and a brand new show with no ego. And that's all I want. That's all I want. And if people see that, boom, hashtag boom.
I think that's a beautiful message. And you know what, guys? Listen, we talked a lot about health
long
today.
The show.
A lot about health. And I think it was beyond worth this time because your story is profound. I love it. And I'm excited to follow you now. I'm
going
to follow
you.
I'm going to stay in touch with you.
Yes.
I expect you to stay in touch with me. Because,
I will.
And listen, I'm going to throw this out there.
I will.
I don't do it for a lot of people, but if you don't have a healthy accountability partner, I will put that out there.
Hey, man, I'll take you up on
that. If you find
that
connection, like, we're connecting from the podcast world to the podcast
world.
I'm a big proponent for a community and finding the right people that are going to support you. And it sounds like you have tons of connections and support and from the media world and the podcasting world and doing the movie thing. But I'm like, dude, if you need that crazy, right, adrenaline junkie guy to bust your balls.
But you're right. But I'm alone. But I'm still alone in my personal journey. Absolutely. Okay. And I've actually been a lot vulnerable on this show than I ever thought I'd ever be. So I do want to, in the next conference that I'm at, I do want to say, I met this amazing new podcaster, went on his show, talked about nothing I thought I would. Ended up talking about my personal, the stuff I never share. It's all me. Yeah. I always talk about movies and all my projects, which was a therapy to me. Then he became my friend. He kind of helped me be accountable. I needed advice. I needed a push. Now I've lost 125 pounds, and we're doing a follow-up show, Motivating the Planet. That's a great thing.
Yeah, let's
do that. And I would love to come back on when I reach that goal, just to be a small win for somebody else. And
well,
say,
we're already laying the groundwork. The groundwork's being laid right now.
Well, dude, look, man, you're a great host, and I'll throw you a little compliment. I don't give it to a lot of people because then they stop trying. But I think you are natural at this. I think that because what I liked that I saw in you was you're like, I'm the health junkie. I got this down. You even said it. I got my shit together. But then I saw the vulnerability when I said, you know what? But the seat does need to be a little bigger. And I saw you go, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that hosts don't do. They don't know how to say, you know what? I learned something from that guest. I'm almost done. Yeah. We got the famous guy circling the table. And I'll end with this is just a compliment for you is like, I saw you rethink yourself, and that's going to make you a better helper and a better host, and people will fear your show less because now, yes, he's a CrossFitter, but I saw him think about our angle for a minute when Neil defended it, and so that's what inspired me of this whole interview, not my story. I was like, this guy, I just threw him a counter, and he didn't say no, it's not. He said, I got to give you that one, and that's a big deal because the first step for me was to admit I had a problem and say, you're right about that.
Awesome, man.
So, man, thank you so much for having me on. This has been a blessing, and I can't wait to hear this episode, part one, two, and three, since it's so long.
Yeah.
And you have a friend in the industry, man, and I meet people for a reason, and I'm going to walk away from this podcast interview saying I wanted to talk about our projects. I thought I was going to be talked about that, and instead it bettered me and gave him a great fifth episode, man. So thank you so much for having me on.
Dude, it's been an honor having you on. Yeah. Again, guys, check out the documentary, The Messengers. It is on Indiegogo.com right now. They're still in crowdfunding phase.
Support
the
messengers.
Got a couple days left. Editing is not cheap. So again, I am airing this in time for you guys to support this campaign and be
thank
a part
so
of
much.
Their mission. So get out there, get on Indiegogo.com, check out The Messengers documentary, follow them on social media at The Messengers Doc. I know I do. And again, thanks for being on today.
Oh, man. Thank you, my
friend.
It's
been an honor.
It has been a pleasure.
All right, guys. Remember, that's the Live the Fuel show. Again, we're here to fuel your health, business, and lifestyle. I hope you were inspired today. I know I was inspired. Get out there, live healthy, grow your business, balance your life. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Subscribe today.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.